Wednesday the 2nd of June, Kof Sivan, Rabbi Svi Wanderer, Kazayis, making a meal out of it.
Last week someone showed me a pitted olive, and they asked me, is this olive enough to make a Ruch Achrona on? Is the olive a Kazayis? And this, it was a large olive actually, it was probably a candidate for the Meraglim, extremely impressive pitted olive. And of course the question as to whether it's a Kazayis is a bit ironic, in the sense that's what a Zayis means, but of course, as we know nowadays, the definition of the volume of a Kazayis is varied from what it was originally. And I'm not coming today to discuss the size and quantity of what is technically called a Kazayis. That's already something which is Tolib Ashley Rabrave. It's already been discussed by people far beyond my abilities. But I would like to discuss a different aspect, different angle of the question of, as to eating an entire olive. And the topic I'd like to go into today is that of a barrier. It might be reasonably well known, the topic of barrier is one where the person can discuss. That's when a person eats an entire item, a whole creation, literally a barrier means a creation, a person eats an entire thing, we'll try and define later what a thing means, as there may well be an issue of Rocha Achrona that arises over there. And it all begins with a Gemara in Brachas. Gemara in Brachas, Lamed Ches on the base, where Gemara recounts a story. And the story concerns Rabbi Yochanan. Runs as follows. Omer Rabbi Chiya Ba'ava, says Rabbi Chiya Ba'ava, Nira Isis Rabbi Yochanan, I've seen Rabbi Yochanan Sha'achal, and saw Rabbi Yochanan Sha'achal as Zayis Meliach. He ate a salted olive, might call it pickled olive nowadays, ate a salted olive, a birchalot, chil of a soif, and he made a bracha at the beginning and at the end. Gemara then discusses a different topic, which the reason why it was brought in the first place, but for our purposes, we'll skip down to the very last line of that stuff, Lam Chesom Beis, and it says as follows. Asks Rabbi Yirmiyah, Omle Rabbi Yirmiyah of Rabbi Zera, asks Rabbi Yirmiyah of Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Yochanan Hekim Mavorich al Zayis Meliach, how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan made a bracha on this salted olive? Given the shoklei legarine, botzirei shiure, once you've taken away the pip, once you remove the pip from the olive, then the shear, botzirei shiure, it's absent, the shear is missing, it hasn't got the full volume of a zayis. If a zayis means a size of an olive, and this zayis now had part of it subtracted, you're now missing the pip. So it hasn't got the volume, the requisite volume to say a bracha achrona. Sorry? He ate the main flesh, and naturally it spit out the pip inside. And that is therefore part of the olive. Right, so that's something which is could be considered. However, it seems that the Gemara is of the opinion quite strongly that the sheer kazayis is the total volume of a kazayis, including the pip inside it, and the the understanding would be that it's a shear given by the Torah to define quantities, and seeing that the shear is relevant to all fields of achil, not just to obviously to the zayis, so it's given as a definitive volume of a certain size. And the Gemara, it seems, doesn't even take into consideration any in terms of the kazayis volume. Any subtracting of the pip doesn't seem to come into it. It might come into it in a moment. We're going to see in the Yerushalmi, but certainly in terms of a kazayis volume, the definition seems to be a volume of a kazayis with its zayis, should I say, with a with the pip included. And the Gemara, you would see the hemorrhage of how it pans out. Omele misobras kazayis godol beinon. So who says that you need to have a large kazayis beinoni beinon? You have to have a medium-sized kazayis. That is what the Torah is referring to when it talks about a kazayis. Vahahu, to aishu l'kamed Rabbi Yochanan, that moment which was brought before Rabbi Yochanan, zayis godol hoya. It was a large zayis. Afa gav the shokle legarine. Even though you've taken away the pit, poshle shiura, you're still left with the sufficient volume of a medium-sized kazayis. In other words, the Gemara says that the classic kazayis definition that we have is a zayis of average size, medium-sized kazayis. And if you start with a large one and you take away the pip, you're left with what was the equivalent of a average, normal kazayis, which is something which a bracha achrona can be set upon. And one more line, Desna Zayas Omru Lo Kotam Lo Godel Ela Beinuni. The Zayas which is spoken about is not small or large, it is an average sized one. So that is the Gemara as it stands, and per se, we see therefore that there's a certain requirement for a Zayas, and it's got to be the size of an average Kazayas, and if you take away the pip, then you have to subtract that amount from your cheshbon, from your calculations. The interesting thing is that there's an almost parallel story with a slight variation in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, and it's brought in Tosfos over here, the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yechon, Hechi Birach Azayas. We're asked the same question, how can you make a bracha on the Zayas? Halehabe Shi'uram. There's no Shi'ur, there's not the right amount. V'koma Mishum Beria. And the more answers Mishum Beria. The reason why he made a bracha achrona because there was a barrier. The filo lo achal ela preda achasher anov. Even a person only eats one individual grape, like preda achasher rimon. A person eats only one single seed of a pomegranate. Boy bruchim shund barrier mevorach and a filo pachas mikazayis. You need to have a bracha achrona because a barrier requires a bracha achrona, irrespective of whether there is a certain volume of a kazayis. But the very fact that it has a shame for itself, a status, an independent name of a barrier, it stands as a bracha achrona being required for this barrier. And that is a more or less a quote from the Yerushalmi Tosfos brings. Now, the Rishonim immediately jump on this contrast between the two stories, and Moro says that when you see that, on one hand, in the Bavli, we talk about the case being with a large kazai, a large olive, in order that you can end up with subtracting the pip and still have a kazayas. And the Rishalmi seems to be saying that it's chayv in brocha achrona because there's a volume of a barrier. And what a barrier means, we're going to define that shortly.
It was
a barrier until he consumed it, correct. Now it's an X olive and an X barrier. Be more precise, quite right. So the Rishonim immediately say that it seems that there's a conflict. There's an argument between the Bavli and Yerushalmi because the different explanation for the scenario given by both the Talmud Shama Talmud Bavli, and as such they use a time-worn principle that whenever there's an argument between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, we always follow the opinion of the Bavli, and therefore it seems to be that this principle of barrier is sidelined, and it's not the final halacha in the Bavli. We don't pass on that. That's how it's seen by many Rishonim. Tosfos himself says that initially, and they explain that the Rambam and the Rif, who don't bring any topic of barrier in the context of brachas, so the Rambam and the Rif, it seems that they simply follow the principle that we are passing like the Bavli and not like the Yerushalmi, and that's why those Gedolei HaPoskim don't refer to any topic or concept of barrier in their halachas. And in fact, there's a good reason why they do that, because not only is it just from the context, not just the circumstantial evidence from our Gemara itself that seems to indicate that barrier is not the halachic norm for bracha achrona, but there's a Gemara in Makkos which seems to strongly point against us considering a whole olive or similar item to be a barrier. Gemara in Makkos, the Mishnah, it starts in the Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak, Elohim Aloikin, and towards the end of the Mishnah there's a machlokas between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon. Kama yuchal min ha-tebel v'yehei chayiv. How much is a person not obliged, how much should a person avoid eating of tebel, and he's going to be chayiv for doing the tebel, where there's truma might haven't been taken? And the Mishnah inquires as to how much Elohim Aloikin, how much he's going to get malchus for, what's the minimum amount which he eats which he'll still get malchus for. Rav Shimon says any amount, any tiny amount. The Chomim Omrim Kazayas. The Chomim say it's a classic amount of Kazayas. On the head of Rav Shimon, says Rav Shimon to them, Yatem Modem Lib Ochan Mola Kol Shuhu Shuhu Chayiv. He says, what do you mean? How can you say that you have to have a Kazayas? Surely we know that regarding other contexts of eating Shrotim, a person eats a single and tiniest thing, far smaller than a Kazayas, and he's still Chayiv for doing so. So why is it that there is a requirement for Kazayas for breaking the din of Tevel? Omrulah, that said, coming back to Rav Shimon, Pneishu Kibriyosa. The reason why a Namola is Chayiv when you eat it is because it is in its entirety, the way it was created, Kibriyasa. On the other hand, replied the Chachamim, replied Rav Shimon, Afchisa Achas Kibriyasa, replied Rav Shimon, and he said, well, in that case, surely one individual kernel or piece of wheat is also the way it was created. And therefore, surely that should, just like an ant is forbidden to be eaten individually, and as Malchus for it, so too, eating a single grain of wheat should be Chai Malchus for eating Teva. Now the Mishnah doesn't actually specify what the final response of the Chachamim to Rav Shimon was. As Rav Shimon had the last word in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon said that a grain of wheat is a beria, a kibriyasa, it's a creation, and the Chachamim don't respond, but in the Gemara they do. So if you skip a few daf in the Gemara, daf Yudzai, and the Gemara says, well, what about the Rabbanon? Rabbanon, b'riyas neshama chashuva chitza loy chashuva. Important principle. The Chachamim say that a b'riyas neshama is considered to be a choshev thing. Something which has a neshama, or had a neshama at some point, is considered to be choshev, and therefore has this status, this elevated status of being a beria, and it has all the dinim of the Torah, surim and malchus, etc., for it individually. Whereas a chitta, which has no neshama, never had a neshama, that can't have the status of a beria. And therefore it seems to be that, as well as the fact that the machlokes of Babli and Yerushalmi as to whether what the case with Rabbi Yochanan was about this particular olive, but also we have a quite clear, explicit Mishnah in Makkos, which seems to specify that a bria, like a chitta, individual grain, because it has no neshama in it, it is not considered to be a beria. And certainly in Hilchos Basar v'Cholav and Taruvos Yeridea, it's quite clear that the Shulchan Aruch says that only sort of beria that we consider to be a beria, amongst other conditions, it's got to be something that breaks neshama. So coming back to our Gemara, therefore, so although it does seem to be that the din of beria in our halachic world is not a live issue, but it's actually given a lease of life, it's rejuvenated by various Rishonim. A lot of Rishonim try their best to reconcile our Gemara with the Babli. Coming back to our Gemara about Rav Yochanan and this olive, salted olive with the pit missing, Rishonim try and reconcile our Gemara with the Rishami as to why our Gemara doesn't speak about beria, whereas the Rishami does. And I'll mention first Tosafos, and it's actually it's probably slightly clearer in the Rashba, it's a very similar opinion. Both of them say the following. They say that regarding a beria, it could be indeed that we do hold of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi was of the opinion that Rabbi Yochanan ate the entire thing. He ate the olive, pits and all, and he didn't take out the pit. And therefore it's considered to be a beria. Ava of the Gemara. In our Gemara, the case, or the Gemara thought the case was, where he took out the pit and he threw it out. So the Rashba seems to make a very clear and distinct chiluk that really we all hold of the concept of beria, the Babli and the Rishalmi. Why did Babli not talk about the beria as being the reason for the Brocha Achrona? Very simply because in the case of the Babli, he took the pip and he threw it out the way one does normally with an olive. Whereas in the Rishalmi, he actually ate the pip. So it's not necessarily recommended, but certainly it was, that's how the Rashba defines what was done in the two different cases. And therefore, he seems to say that if you eat the entire thing, if you eat the pip and the flesh, and eat the whole thing, then indeed it is a beria, and our Gemara agrees to that. Just our Gemara is about a different case. Our Gemara, the Babli, is speaking about a case where he didn't eat the pip. So that's the way that the Rashba and Tosafos and similar vein reconciles the Babli and Yerushalmi. The Rosh has a different opinion, and the Rosh says as follows. The Rosh says, Psokim in Brachos, of Afsha, could be the Shnei Masim Hoy, there are two different stories in the Babylonian Yerushalmi. The Haidi Yerushalmi have a Zayas Sholim. In the case of Yerushalmi, was a complete Zayas, Keshuhuva Lefonov, when it was presented to him. When it was given to him, when he got it, it was complete. This is an interesting and subtle point here from the Rosh. He says that in the case of Yerushalmi, the olive was complete when you got it, and when you got, made Machi when he made the bracha at Rishonah, initially when he made the bracha on it, was complete. Afal Gav, even though Shehishlich Hagarinim, even though eventually he threw out the pip, Kivan Shehuvalafon Rishonim, Venanam Midbaria Shlema, since it was brought to him complete and he benefited from this complete creation, Mashaderech Le'echel Mimeno, Yesh Kan Shiur. The case of the Babli was where, the case of Hisham is where he was presented with an entire olive, he ate the olive and spat out a pit, because he made a bracha on it originally when it was in its complete form, it had the status of a barrier. Maybe in our Gemara it was a case of a olive without a pit, when it was initially brought to him, it didn't have a pit inside it. And it seems to be a rather mechudish angle from the Rosh, and the Rosh is saying that you have something which was a barrier, it was complete, and it was entire, and nothing was missing when you initially had it, when you made a bracha rishona on it, even though subsequently you only ate the flesh, you ate only the part which is normal to eat from it, that itself still retains the status of a barrier. Even though he didn't eat the whole thing, but he had it as a whole thing when he made bracha rishona, that's already enough to be considered to be a barrier. Then there's Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah has a third opinion. Let's try and hold these different opinions together. So the Rabbeinu Yonah has a different way of reconciling things, and he says as follows. Eshel Hamid HaTalmud Shalonu. It's possible to reconcile the Gemara Babli Matalmud Yerushalmi Yonemar Shem Hu Dovash En Derech Lo'ichvayim HaGarin. If it's something which you don't normally eat with the pip, could go in Zayis, Kiyotze Bo, Shesorach Shiyihye Bo Shiyorim Levad HaGarin. If the item you're eating doesn't normally have a pip that's eaten, the pip is inedible in normal circumstances. Something which one never normally eats the pip, he says, can never be a barrier. It's not going to remain whole. Therefore, in our Gemara, he says, we're talking about a large olive, which minus the pip, is a kazayis. If it's something which is normal to be eaten with a pip, you go in garin shalrimon or garin shalanova, a pip of a pomegranate or of a grape, like gun gan dunyos, if you ate the whole thing, even if it hasn't got a kazayis, danin le barrier, it has a pin of a barrier, and you make a brocha achroina. So, try that rather whistle stop tour of the different Rishonim, try and summarize what they say, and then we're going to try and put it together. So, let's just summarize the three opinions, the three ways of reconciling the Yerushalmi and the Babli. There's either the opinion of the Rashba. The Rashba says that when the pip is eaten, you eat the entire item, you have an olive with a pip inside, and you eat the whole thing, then that's a barrier according to everybody. In the case of the Babli, was where you didn't eat the pip. The Rosh says that if you got a complete olive or other similar item, and you ate it, but you spat out the pip. Since you had an olive which was complete from the beginning, initially when you made the bracha rishona it was complete, that's already enough to give it the status of a berry and make a bracha achrona. And the Rabbeinu Yonah, somewhere in the middle, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that it seems to be you've got to eat the pip as well, so unfortunately you have to do that, so you want to have a barrier.
Because you become a barrier.
Sorry?
If you eat the pips, you come.
But you are what you eat, in the sense. Yeah, right, it could be that. Yeah. So it's not a medical advice, sure. It's just a, but regarding the halakhic aspects of this topic, just to summarize, Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be somewhere in the middle between the two opinions. Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be of the opinion that you've got to eat the whole thing. You have to eat the whole thing for it to be a barrier, but there are certain things that can never be a barrier. For example, a zayis. He says an olive can never be a barrier, reason being that it's the norm to discard the pip. Since you don't normally eat the pip, and it's quite clear from what he's saying, even if you do eat it, even if you do eat it, even if you actually eat the pip of an inedible pip, even so, it hasn't got a bit of a barrier because that isn't food, that's not eaten as such, and therefore things like a zayis can never be a barrier, whereas a rimmon and an anov, which is what Rishami talks about, olives and, grapes and pomegranate seeds, those can be a barrier. Now, all that needs to be fitted into the halacha, because although I did say that the Rambam and the Rif don't pask in this way, the Shulchan Aruch, certainly the Ramah as well, seem to be concerned for the opinions of those who try and reconcile the Babli and the Rishami, and the din of barrier is actually a live issue in halacha, and it's in Siman Reish Yud, topic of the Siman, Ha'oichel Pachos Mekazayis Ma Dino, what's the dinner of a person who eats less than the Kazayis? And one of the topics over there says the Shulchan Aruch, Yeshim Stapkim Loimash, Aldovashu Kibriyosai, Siman Reish Yud, something which is in its original created form, going Gargir Shal Amov, Oishal Rimon, a olive, I'm sorry, a grape or a piece of pomegranate, Shemavorachan Achro, you make a bracha achroina, Mistapkim, some say you should do it, so don't actually do it, but let's hear what he said. Al Pisha Imba Kazayis, Lachin Nochen Li Zoher, it's appropriate to be careful, cautious, Shalom Lechel Beria Pachas Mikazayis. A person should avoid, it's quite well known, a person should avoid eating a whole item unless you have a whole Kazayis, when of course then it has a bracha achroina kicks in just because you had the right volume. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Adds the Ramah, V'lo mikri beria elim ochroi kamos shehu. Says the Ramah, it's only considered to be a beria if you eat it the way it is, kamos shehu in its original state. Avolim lochach hagarin mimenu lo mikri beria. If you remove the pip from the beria, then it hasn't got the status of a beria. And the poskim, the Vilna Gaon, the Shabrua, they all say that this Ramah certainly is going with the opinion of the Rashba. So, in other words, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that we do have to be concerned to avoid eating a beria unless you have a whole kazayas of food, because you get yourself into a muddle with a bracha achrona, because there are opinions which say that one has to make a bracha achrona on a beria, but many don't. Many say you don't, and therefore you should avoid it. Says the Ramah, however, if all you have is the beria minus the pip, then you're safe. And the Vilna Gaon and others say it's because he's following the opinion of the Rashba. He's following the Rashba, not the Rosh. Rosh said that if you have a barrier at the Bracha Roshona point, then you've already got the issue of Bracha Achrona. Whereas the Rashba said that if you don't have the whole thing, if you don't eat the pip, and even an inedible pip, if you don't eat it, it hasn't got any status of a barrier whatsoever. So, certainly in our case of the, we started with the case of the olive with the pip missing, so that certainly is not going to be a problem. That, I think that's actually calling to all opinions, because when a pip is taken out, a pitted olive, it didn't have a pip when you got it in the first place, so there's no pip when the bracha is shown up. And certainly according to the Rashba, we have to eat the pip, then there's no pip there to eat. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, where the olive which has a pip which is always inedible can never be a berry even if you do eat the pip, so certainly a pitted olive is there's no shayla whatsoever about bracha achrona. However, there are other halachic issues which needs to be clarified. There's one particular point which is actually quite a big kula. There's a very convenient leniency, and it's mentioned by Mishbura mentions it to a degree, and it's further in the Ben Ishkai. Mishbura says, quoting the Chai Odom, that if you break off part of the barrier, you break it into two, break it, have a nut, small peanut, and you break it in half, and you eat one half and then the other, that hasn't got the status of a barrier. And that's derived from the dinim of barrier in Issa v'Hetza, where there they say that if it's in any way nimuach, or in some way been downsized or broken from what it originally was, even though you ate the whole thing in the end, but since you eat piece by piece, it hasn't got the dinim of a barrier. And the Ben Ishkai adds to that it's not only where you break it in half, but if you take a small nut or an item and you nibble it, you bite a piece off. So a person bites a piece of a I hope no one swallowed an olive pit. The din of a eating a peanut, biting a small piece off, has the status of a non-barrier, because if a person has removed a bit, even though you piss it off in your mouth, since you didn't put the whole thing into your mouth in one go, so the Ben Ishkai says that certainly circumvents the problem of barrier. But I do feel that in the end it is really quite important to deal with this tomorrow in Machus, because we did say that, and although it seems in Halacha we are concerned for the topic of barrier, and we are choshesh to the extent that we encourage people to avoid eating a small piece of a pomegranate or a grape because you get into issues of bracha achrona. But there is a major problem that it does appear that the Gemara Makkos tells us that if it hasn't got a brias neshama, an item without a neshama, never had a neshama, quite clear it's a machlokas for Shimon the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon say that an item which has never had a neshama in it can't be a barrier. And that's how we follow in Shulchan Aruch and Issa v'Hetza. That's what we say regarding the din of bracha So regarding the dinim of Beria, regarding Apil Be'elef Lo Bosol, so why is it that we are concerned in Halacha, in Dinim Orech Chaim, why are we concerned about the Beria if in all other halachic angles a Beria is not considered to be anything which has no neshama, has not got the status of a Beria? And for that, to answer that question, as to why over here we're suddenly so stringent and we're worried about a Beria that has no neshama, never had a neshama, even though the Gemara Machah seems to state clearly that without a neshama something can't be a Beria. So I'd like to refer you to the words of the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua, I'm not going to say word for word in it, quite a lengthy piece, and I want to take a section of what he says. But he says a wonderful chiddush, beautiful idea that he said regarding the din of Brocha and Beria and Brocha Achroina. And he says as follows, he says, if we look as to the source of Brocha Achroina, it's well known, it's Parshas Akev at the beginning. Torah says, V'chalta v'savata v'irachta, the person has to make a brocha when he eats something. And in that context, in the very same Parsha, it says, in the Torah enumerates, it lists the Shivas Aminim. Eretz Chet HaSoira, Gef Metein of Rimon, Eretz HaShemen of Devash. Torah tells us a list of the Shivas Aminim. So, explain the issue as follows. He said like this. He says, this whole topic of Beria, when it arises in Issa Behetza, certainly, it's in Chulin and seventh parent Gid HaMoshe, the whole topic of Beria is always discussed in the context of things that are listed in the Torah as specific Issurim. So, for example, Gid HaMoshe has got a status of a Beria. So, the one talks about how a person has Gid HaMoshe and it's mixed up with other things. Gid HaMoshe, even though it's mixed with hundreds of other items, there's no din of Bittul because it has a din of a Beria. So, why is it? Says the Gemara Shavuos, because the Torah has specified that Gid HaMoshe is forbidden. Torah has spoken directly about Gid HaMoshe, and it defines it as a forbidden item. It doesn't say how big, it doesn't say how small. It says Osa, however big it is. Same thing with a Nemola, an ant, the person eats a Sheretz. So again, the Torah says you can't eat Shrotim, it doesn't say how big, it doesn't say how small. And therefore, since the Torah has pinpointed and indicated these things are forbidden, even though they may not have the normal Shirah Kazayas, they're forbidden. That's why a Beria has normally got the status of an extra choshev and more strict item. Says the Pnei Yeshua, therefore, he says, if you consider when a Torah discusses brachas on foods, and it talks about brocha, achrona, brocha, rishona, it's true there's a whole topic which needs to be discussed independently as to which ones are from the Torah, which ones are midrabbanan, the whole topic about whether brocha achrona is only when there's severe, chalta v'sot, or ve'irachto, and a shad about brocha, burna foshet, etc. But the baseline principle is that when the Torah talks about brochas, brocha, rishona, brocha, achrona, it specifies items, talks about gefen, te'ino, v'rimon, Zayas Shemen talks about all the individual, and it delineates, it enumerates various food items for Brocha. So says the Pnei Yeshua, therefore, that it's true in other contexts, in the context of Isurim, the only things that have got the status of a Beria are those which have a Bris Neshama. But when it comes to Brochas, the Torah has told you, it's spoken about pomegranates, spoken about dates and olives, it tells you these items are what we're interested, what we're concerned with Brocha. And therefore, could well be that with regards to brachas, the whole status of Beria has a different categorization than that it does with Issurim, when a Torah talks about these things individually. And from the fact that it lists these seven in the Torah, of the seven medium, from there we have Bin and Av, can extrapolate that it's precedent for the fact that a item which is created in its entirety, albeit without a Bris Neshama, has the din of a Beria, and those Shavuos Aminim, which of course is the topic of this week's parasha, with the Meraglim, so if we eat them in the right way, behave with them in the right way, we be zoicha to what of course was the called by them the opposite, we be zoicha to Ula Shleima, and here we mean it.